legislate.
Senate Committee on Health, Human Services and Rural Health Policy will come to order, please, and welcome. You brought the sunshine, right?
Absolutely.
Good, you're responsible. And you bring the sun with you, very good, thank you.
As long as you leave some there, that's important.
It was cloudy when I walked here this morning, and I'm glad to see that you made it different, okay. So, Senate Bill 845, we're going to carry over until Wednesday. So we will have a work session on Senate Bill 355. Open the work session, would you give us an update, and we'll have some testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 355 has been heard four previous times, February 9th, February 11th, March 11th, and again on April 1st. It requires the State Board of Pharmacy to establish and maintain an electronic database to collect and centrally store pharmacy records for controlled substances, Schedules 2, 3, and 4, dispensed throughout the state. It specifies conditions under which the board can disclose data to individuals, researchers, certified practitioners and pharmacists, law enforcement agencies, health professional regulatory boards, and other state reporting programs. It asserts that providers are not required to utilize information in the database when making prescribing decisions. It creates the Prescription Monitoring Program Advisory Commission to provide guidance to the board and establish membership and roles of the commission. And we currently have five sets of amendments on this bill.
Okay. To put things in perspective, I think we had 12 sets of amendments last session. Before we move this to Ways and Means, Dr. Bates, would you, Senator Bates, would you come up, please?
Good morning, Chair Morissette and committee members. For the record, Alan Bates, State Senator from Southern Oregon, District 3, and a practicing physician in Southern Oregon. I think you all know me. I'd like to point out that I'm wearing my favorite tie today. This is my Looney Tune tie. This is going to be a daily event now, probably for the rest of the session. So, sort of set thing going here. Senate Bill 355 has at least five amendments to it, and I'm sorry to tell you that we don't have a gross bill for your read. It would be much simpler for you, but I'll try to walk you through the major changes of the bill and give you an idea of why this bill's been brought forward. As you know, as I said earlier, I'm a practicing physician, and we have a growing problem in this state and across the nation with certain types of drugs, Schedules 2 through 4, that are highly addictive and can be abused and misused. From the point of view of patient safety, especially in our elderly population, which is the growing part of our population, and people suffering from chronic disease, especially those diseases that are associated with chronic pain, we're using these narcotics and tranquilizing agents more and more every day. And quite often you have a patient sitting in your practice who is seeing several physicians, and that patient is receiving medications from several physicians, and they get confused about them. You can't get proper records on it sometimes. You're calling various pharmacies, trying to figure out what the patient's on, why they're a little confused at times, and another difficulty with drug interactions. And this is a daily event. Over the weekend, I saw a patient. She lives up in Shady Cove. It's about a 45-minute drive from the office. We contacted her by phone two or three times after seeing her once in the office over the weekend, trying to figure out and keep her straight on the drug she's taking as far as chronic pain from a fracture she's had in her back. It was almost impossible. We were concerned she might be getting drugs from somebody else, and being in almost an age of almost 85, it's difficult for her to keep things straight. Having a database that I could have called into and found out if she's getting drugs from anybody else and what those drugs were and what the dosage of them was would have been very important for her patient safety. The other issue is diversion of drugs. We now know nationally that the greatest problem in drug abuse is, or one of the greatest problems in drug abuse, if not the greatest, is diversion of narcotic drugs from doctors' offices. The people who do this are extremely good at it. Over 30 states, I believe, now have this type of database in place trying to stop this practice. And I'll give you an example of this, too, that occurred a few years ago to me. I had a patient who came in and saw me about every 2 months for her migraines. She had a good history for them, had seen a neurologist once. We were following her carefully. And she would get a moderate amount of narcotic medication, about 15 or 20 tablets of a drug called hydrocodone for that purpose. Sitting with some other physicians one day, I was talking about this particular patient, not telling her by name, of course, just describing her. And she was a middle-aged woman, early 50s, well-dressed, very articulate. And we got to talking about it and realized that we seemed to all have the same patient in our practice. And one of the other doctors waited for her to come in next time and asked a few pertinent questions and called around a few pharmacies. Found out this woman actually lived in Reno, Nevada, and was working the I-5 corridor. Had done this before and actually had been jailed once for it. She had 60 or 70 doctors up and down the I-5 corridor she worked with. I got an opportunity to see the records she kept of each of those doctors' visits. And I'll tell you, her records and my visits were better than mine. She knew exactly what I said, what she said. She was not using the drugs herself. She was taking them back to Reno and selling them. Now, she may have been an exceptional case, but those cases are out there. And that's what this database is designed to do. I feel that within the next few years, if we don't do one here in Oregon, there's going to be a national database on this anyway. But I'd rather have one run and controlled by Oregon than run by the federal government. The bill itself has been, as we said, amended several times. We worked with the ACLU to do everything we could to protect patient rights and privacy in this. I know they'll be opposing the bill based on the idea that it's another database. I would also point out that we have several databases out there already concerning these. Anyone who has commercial insurance will have a similar database on them with their commercial insurer. If they want to get a prescription from a physician and not use their insurance to buy that prescription, they actually won't go into that database. But for most of us, we're in a database already for the prescriptions we're receiving that are covered by our insurers. So this is not something brand new. You'll also notice in the language...
Mr. Chair, I'd also point out that if you're getting your prescription from a chain pharmacy, it's in that database.
It's in that database,
well.
Too. Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. If you're going to Walmart some of the other ones, you can go anywhere in the country and get your prescriptions refilled, which are really pretty handy. Well, the problem is you're in a database. And so the idea that there's not databases out there like this is really a fallacy. They're there already. And I'd also point out that many of us voted for or against the database in this state for driver's licenses, which is much more tight and has a broader database than this one does. If you look at the bill carefully, you'll see we did everything we could to protect people. Law enforcement can't get into this database without a court order that's based on probable cause. State boards can't get into it for the same reason. This is only for prescribing physicians, nurse practitioners, naturopaths, dentists. The pharmacists themselves can enter into the system also for these same purposes. We put other things into it also. It's not going to have your Social Security number in this, as an example. After 3 years, you come out of the database. So it's not a permanent database. It's turned over every 3 years. The Dash 5 amendments, the last amendments, are put in strictly for the purpose of raising a $25 fee on all prescribers in the state, board by board, to cover the expense of running the program and running it properly. We want this to be a well-funded program so that the electronic mechanism for doing this is appropriate and that the proper safeguards for patients are, in fact, in place the way we're planning to have them there. The other parts of the bill, the dash 2s and 3s, which are hand engrossed, I think speak for themselves. Others will speak for the bill probably behind me here. We will try very quickly to have an engrossed bill, but I'd like to see this bill move out and get down to Ways and Means if you possibly could, if you have a positive vote here. We'll have an engrossed bill at that time. If there's errors at that point, which I do not believe there will be, we can always bring it back to you. I don't expect that to happen. I know we're in a time set here that's getting close, but we've got some time to work the bill further if we need to. I don't believe we do need to. This bill is pretty clean at this point. It's been looked at carefully. We've gone over it word by word, line by line, many times. If you find another mistake in it, I will apologize and fix it. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would like to end my testimony and take any questions you might have for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Murtha,
yes.
Which amendments then out of the five
The fours and fives.
Fours and fives, for sure.
We're going to need to rescind the twos and threes because we had already adopted them, and we don't have a FSRIS on those, but the fours encompass the twos and threes, and we've got a FSRIS on it.
Right.
So.
And you know what a FSRIS is.
And I haven't seen the FSRIS. My understanding is the FSRIS is excellent.
It's a great term, don't you think?
I don't want to try to spell it, Mr. Chair, but I'm sure it's a great term.
It'll be in the Wikipedia next session. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, committee members.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Ms. Chair, I move that we reconsider the motion by which we adopted the Dash 2 and Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 355.
Senator Cruz moves that we reconsider the motions two.
By which we...
Two and three. Okay. Discussion? The dissent? Okay. So,
Mr. Chair, I move that we remove the Dash 2 and 3 amendments from Senate Bill 355.
Okay. Senator Cruz moves that we remove the Dash 2 and 3 amendments from Senate Bill 355. Discussion? Disagreement? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 355.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 355. Discussion? Dissent? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 5 amendment to Senate Bill 355.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 5 amendments to Senate Bill 355. Discussion? Dissent? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 355 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Okay.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 355 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Want to thank all of the folks that worked on this thing. This has been a long road. Hasn't it, Paige? Yes, it has. We've been on this for many sessions. I think this is a great bill. And I think our solution for funding the program is absolutely golden. So I'm anxious to get this bill down to Senator Bates' subcommittee so we can see it on the floor of the Senate relatively soon.
Okay. Other discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Monta Sanders.
Thank you. We had a death, a young 16-year-old Bartle High School student. She died from an overdose. I can't remember which drug it was, but they found the two men that gave it to her. They were doctor shoppers, and they actually got their medications through the clinic in Vancouver, the nurse practitioner clinic. And so we now need to make sure that our colleagues to the north of us will deal with this issue also. It is a real problem. Thank you.
Ms. Chair, just to follow up, if I could.
Senator Cruz.
On what Senator Mona Sanderson said, because Washington had already adopted this, but they had funded it out of the general fund, and which is why they aren't moving forward, because they're in the same condition we are financially, which is why this funding source is absolutely golden.
Good point.
And we are not touching general fund. And by the way, I believe all the boards that are involved in this are absolutely supportive of this. So all the I's have been dotted, all the T's have been crossed.
Okay. Other comments? Thank you. Would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Senator
Berger?
Aye.
Senator
Telford?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Morrison?
Aye. Okay. The bill, when Senator Cruz is through doing his exercise. The bill is on its way to Ways and Means, and take good care of it, please, Dr. Bates, and we'll, or Senator Bates, and we'll expect to see you and the bill back here soon, or on the floor soon. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, closing the work session on Senate Bill 355, we will open a work session on Senate Bill 937.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 937 was originally heard on April 6th, and it requires disabled parking permit applicants applying for renewal to submit a certificate from a licensed medical professional stating that the applicant is a person with a disability. It applies to issuance or renewing disabled parking permit applications submitted on or after January 1st, 2010. Subsequent to that, we did have a Dash 1 amendment which added a provision that the certificate verifying disability must be signed, dated, and submitted by a licensed medical professional within 6 months preceding the date of the application. And it adds the requirement that the state-issued licensing number of the medical professional signing the certificate be provided. And we have received the fiscal and revenue statements on the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay. Discussion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is my bill, and I think that the amendment was a good one because I think it just kind of buttons down the fact that the person that is giving you in other words, when you take the permit in and be able to renew it, that you are sure that that person is the right person that can do that. So I think it's a good bill. I think while it might seem to not be important to some people, it is extremely important to those who cannot find a parking place near and have to ride around car lots and trying to find parking places. So I think it's an important bill for people with disabilities.
Mr. Chair. Discussion. Senator Cruz.
I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 937.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 937. Discussion. No discussion. So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 937 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 937 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Would you call the roll, please?
Senator Mona Sampson.
Aye.
Senator Berger.
Aye.
Senator Kelfer.
Aye.
Vice Chair Curtis.
Aye.
Chair Marston.
Aye. Okay. Senate Bill 937 moves to the floor, and Senator Berger will carry the bill. Okay. We will close the public hearing, our work session on 937, and move to Senate Bill 876 and open a work session.
I thought you were going to wait on that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senate Bill 876, we'll close the work session. There is work yet to be done on this bill, so we will carry that over. Thank you. Open a work session on Senate Bill 37.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 37 has been heard three previous times, January 21st, March 4th, and April 8th. It creates new provisions under ORS 414-725, which requires the Department of Human Services to adopt rules and procedures to ensure a rural health clinic, which receives payment from a prepaid managed care plan for services, to issue a payment to the clinic of the difference between what the clinic received from the plan and other insurers, and the amount due from the department is not less than the amount that would be received in DHS's fee for service payment system. It requires the agency to reimburse the rural health clinic within 45 days of receiving a claim, and it applies to claims billed by a rural health clinic to a prepaid managed health care services organization on or after January 2nd, 2010. Subsequent to those, we do have a Dash 1 amendment. The Dash 1 amendment removes the emergency clause from the measure, and it modifies the date that the measure applies to claims billed by a rural health clinic to a prepaid managed care health services organization from on or before January 2nd, 2010 to on or before May 17th, 2011.
Thank you. Questions? Comments?
Yeah. We're in work session?
Yes, yeah. We're in work session, yeah.
I still feel that when the state bills the feds, they do not know what they're going to be reimbursed or if they are even going to get reimbursed. So with the amendment, this means that they will be billing one time. I mean, they will be sending a payment out one time to the rural clinic, and then 6 months later send another bill out to a more realistic one on whether they got paid or not, asking rural clinics, either giving them more money or asking them to send money back. It just seems like we are really forming a real bureaucratic mess by having this kind of a system implemented.
Mr. Edge, would you come up, please? Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if there are more specific criteria, sideboards or whatever, whereby these estimates to the clinics, these estimated payments to the clinics, could not be more narrow to determine the likelihood of getting reimbursed from the feds without having to have the rural clinics reimburse the state. Is there no other constraints or no other standards or criteria that we could implement to minimize that?
Chair Morissette and members of the committee, Senator Telfer, for the record, I'm Jim Edge. I'm the administrator of the Division of Medical Assistance Programs in the Department of Human Services. The Dash 1 amendments would remove the fiscal from the next biennium from 09-11, the way it's written. In answer to your specific question about how specific we can get about estimating the payment, we can get pretty specific. We know the amount pretty close that the managed care plans will pay. There's actually three possible scenarios here. There's the payments by Medicaid managed care plans, there's payments by Medicare, and there's payments by private insurance that can all be preliminary payments, and then the DHS comes in and pays the final payment to pay up to what's called the prospective payment system, or a PPS encounter rate. Our staff is pretty good at being able to estimate those amounts, but they are still estimates. We can come pretty close. And we, under the scenario of this bill, would make that estimate. We would, I feel, come pretty close to estimating the exact amount. But there still would have to be a final reconciliation later, after all the information is in, about whether the private insurance or Medicare or the managed care plan has made its exact payment. We would have to reconcile either up or down a small amount later in the year. So there still is the need to do a first estimate and then a second final exact payment. But hopefully that final exact payment would not be any large change in the amount of payment that had been made to the plan, to the rural health center, I mean.
Okay. Other questions? The purpose of this bill, and we've worked on this for quite a while, this is a committee bill this time. Last time, Senator Cruz and I sponsored it, and in looking at the difficulties that rural clinics have in meeting their expenses and the turnaround time for payments, it had always been my recommendation that we do have a period of reconciliation that would allow them to either receive more or have to send some back or not get as much the next time. I think that's a small disadvantage compared to the inconvenience that they now face with waiting for such a long time for the wraparound payment. So I think it balances very well in their favor. So I do support the bill as it is amended. Other comments? Senator Cruz?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Dash 1 amendment, Senate Bill 37.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendment, Senate Bill 37. Discussion? Disagreement? So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 37 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Would you call the roll, please?
Senator Moss Anderson?
No.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Helfer?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Morsley?
Aye. Senate Bill 37 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I will carry the bill. And Senator Cruz will
help.
Senator Cruz and I will carry the bill. Thank you very much. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 37. Open the public hearing on Senate Bill 161.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 161 has been heard two previous times, February 25th and again on April 8th. It removes the authority of Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Oregon Hospice Association, and Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations to certify or accredit hospice programs to operate in the state, and establishes authority of the Department of Human Services to license hospice programs. It authorizes the department to establish by rule the requirements, qualifications, and fees for licensing. It authorizes the department to impose civil penalties of $1,000 per day, up to $10,000 in a 30-day period. It becomes operative January 1st, 2010. We do have a Dash 3 amendment, which modifies the measure as the $750 licensing fees established in statute rather than rule. It clarifies that the Department of Human Services may make on-site inspections every 3 years or cost be made an inspection, allowing that the department may accept the inspection of state-approved accrediting body if the facility would prefer such an inspection in lieu of one conducted by state staff. And we have received fiscal and revenue statements were issued on the Dash 3 amendments.
Discussion.
Well, Mr.
Senator
Chair, thank you. I really think that we need to have closer supervision on these vulnerable populations, and moving it to the Department of Human Services, I am going to support, but I am a little concerned just because of the size of that department and because of the number of issues that come before me about the department. But I do believe streamlining in some way the oversight of the hospice programs will be beneficial to Oregonians. So I'm going to support the bill.
Thank you. Other discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 161.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 161. Discussion? Concerns? Seeing none? So, ordered?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 161 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference, I think.
Yes,
by prior reference. Okay.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 161 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion? Concerns? Seeing none? Well, go ahead. The clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Monica?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Helfer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chair
Marshall? Aye. Close the work session on Senate Bill 161, which is on its way.
Roll it over.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 735.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 735 was previously heard April 1st. It modifies the provision for administrator to perform any of the functions of the Oregon Prescription Drug Program, included but not limited to contracting. Subsequent to that, we have a dash one amendment, which allows the program to use a pharmacy benefit manager or any other service provided to manage the pharmacy network and other activities of the program. It maximizes the ability to work with other state purchasers to unify the purchasing power and increase the opportunities for better value. And we have now received the fiscal and revenue impact statements on the dash one amendments.
Okay. Discussion. We have in the audience Dr. Janine Smith. Would you come up, please? Missy Dolan and Betty Wilton. Dr. Smith.
Senator Morissette, members of the committee, for the record, Janine Smith, administrator for the Office of Health Policy and Research, and where the office of the Oregon Prescription Drug Program is housed. There is a letter arriving from the Oregon Health Fund Board that I don't think is here yet, just in support of this bill that I did not have when we had our hearing on April 1st. Just for put into the record. They strongly feel, as I said in my testimony, that this aligns greatly with their efforts to improve the healthcare delivery system in Oregon and maximizes both to get Oregonians affordable and quality healthcare.
Thank you. Missy, did you have anything to say? Okay. Questions? Thank you very much. Okay. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm really not ready on this bill. I need to do a little bit more on it. I will be in doubt.
Okay. Okay. Further discussion. Any? Okay. Well, we'll just carry the bill over. That's it.
Well done, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
We actually moved some bills today.
Close the work session. And we are adjourned.
Okay. Somebody talk-